6:31.
Meeting is called to order. 6:31. We have a roll call, please.
Supervisor Friend.
Here.
Supervisor McPherson.
Here.
Councilmember Matthews. Councilmember Terrazas.
Here.
Councilmember Reed. Councilmember Termini.
Here.
Citizen English.
Here.
Citizen Dexter.
Here.
Citizen Bird.
Here.
And Councilmember Reed let us know in advance he would not be attending tonight's meeting. Before we go to the approval of the agenda, there was several moves or two moves that we'd like to do. One was to move up the staff recognition to immediately follow oral communications. And then also to have item number 10, which is the FMP Steering Committee report, to follow that. So it would be, those would be 4 and 5, and everything would just follow in order.
The
piano's
only about a minute if you
have a piano piece.
So like 3 weeks?
I don't know what it is. How
okay. I'm interested in the song.
That way he wouldn't have to stay.
Okay, I'd like to move staff recognition just to follow the oral communications, and then
just
after the debut of the donated baby grand piano, we'll move item 10.
I'll move the amended agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Friend, second by Councilmember Termini. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously. Okay, so the next item on the agenda is oral communications. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak to any item that's not on tonight's agenda?
I have something very quick. Okay. Just gonna pass this around. Is the library has an ad on the back and in the center of the what UCSC students get every year. Actually, they get a printed calendar, they will kind of thing. Every student gets one, and we have an ad in there to try to appeal to the students. So I'm just going to pass this around. It's on the back page and on the mark.
Very nice. So you have a another minute and a half.
I'm done.
Okay. Okay. So that seeing no other public comment, we'll move to the staff recognition and new staff member introduction.
Okay. Staff recognition, I believe the only staff member here is Janice O'Driscoll, and I nominated her because of her hard work in getting us this piano, which donated from the Civic had it, and they needed to get rid of it, and we had it checked out, and it's in great shape, and we're just going to hear it quickly tonight. But so the other staff are not here, so, right? I didn't miss anyone. So in terms of staff recognition, we actually have three new staff that I'd like to introduce, and one of these will be at council again on Tuesday, so please join me. Lynn Sansevero, Lynn, is our new IT manager.
And where have you been?
This woman has hit the ground running with us. You have no idea what she accomplished in her first week. But Lynn lives on the west side with her wife and daughter and their furry friends. She was born in the Bronx and raised on the Jersey Shore. She takes pride in her Italian heritage. She meditates daily and reads voraciously. She's learning how to play the bass and the ukulele and considers herself a lifelong learner, and we did not know about the ukulele before we
hired her. It was an accordion.
Professionally, Lynn is dedicated and resourceful technology leader with over 20 years of industry experience in a variety of leadership roles. She holds an undergraduate degree in business administration and a master's in information systems management. She has successfully led and collaborated with a myriad of technology stakeholders to ensure the timely delivery of practical and innovative technology solutions. She is passionate about bridging the gap between technical and business-focused audiences in order to solve critical challenges and identifying opportunities that boost the usability of IT infrastructures. Her specialties are IT management, strategy, planning, and governance. She is thrilled to be working for her hometown, in particular the libraries, which are so close to her heart. So, welcome, Lynn. Good things come to those who wait.
And before Janice debuts, was there another?
Oh, yes, I've got the two new AmeriCorps volunteer coordinators. The Volunteer Infrastructure Project, that's Hannah Pitts and Jason Pell. And this is the third year that we've used AmeriCorps. And just real quickly, Hannah is originally from Pleasanton, graduated from UCSC in June with a BA in philosophy and history. She was active in the 2013 Ethics Poll and Circle K International. She's volunteered as an English as Second Language teacher with Pleasanton Public Library and has volunteered with the Friends. And on the AmeriCorps application, she wrote, "The AmeriCorps program provides me with the opportunity to be successful as a volunteer coordinator. I feel passionately about working for a cause that would make an impact in my community in Santa Cruz." Jason is from San Rafael and graduated from UCSC in 2012 with a Bachelor of Science degree in biology. He credits his role as a resident assistant at Merrill for honing his leadership skills and for helping him learn the value of empowering others. In addition to his AmeriCorps assignment, Jason is an intern at Encompass Community Services, formerly Santa Cruz Community Counseling Center. On his AmeriCorps application, he wrote, "I'm particularly interested in working to empower youth because I want to pursue a career in education. I am amazed by the youth I work with every day. So far, they visited every branch, attended many programming events. They recently conducted a volunteer satisfaction survey, and we're going to share those results with you at an upcoming meeting. They're going to work with Denise to strengthen and promote volunteer opportunities until their term ends in June. Welcome, Hannah and Jason." That's it.
All right, thanks. I just wanted to, in addition to welcome our new IT manager, just say a comment about Janice and all the work she does in terms of partnerships. We've been out at several events in the community, and Janice is there, I think, 7 days a week. And it really, her face and all the partnerships she's formed with different community groups has done so much. And when we look at the library and a lot of the artwork that's put out there that really kind of connects the wider community that may even just be passing by the library, it makes a tremendous difference in terms of how the library perceives the system and also encourages them to be ongoing library patrons. So thank you.
And now Howie has a very short piece to play for us so that you can debut and hear the piano. Those of you who can appreciate it more than I can.
Formerly item number 10 is now item number 6, and that is the FMP Steering Committee report. It's found on pages 77 and 78 of the packet.
Well, Jim's not here. He just a last-minute emergency. Cynthia, do you want to present this?
Sure. I think it speaks for itself. There's been a lot of discussion going on since our last meeting, but we were charged when we were created with beginning to look at the steps that had to happen to make the facilities master plan a reality. And as you all know, we started out getting the polling done with Gene Bregman, and also as the discussion came back to us, and we also, as you know, looked into some the first steps at some financing options, structures and formulas, and also realized that it would help to have a little more clarity on the construction costs of some of the specific pieces, the timing, options, and so forth. Began to do that. In the meantime, the administrators of the various jurisdictions have begun to get together and look at the issues as spelled out here that they think they could pull together some background information and make some recommendations. So the recommendation, and the issue also has come up about the appropriate focused charge and sunset for this committee. So our recommendation is that we establish a sunset for this ad hoc task force, and that we also direct the library director to continue the initial work of meeting regularly with the administrators to pull together the information we need to make the next steps about phasing and structure of the any ballot measure, as well as the longer-term structure of the JPA, because it's, I think you all heard in the discussions, that's something that the bond funders have asked too. If they're going to get into a long-term guarantee, they want to know what's the structure of the entity. So we think those are the three things that the administrators could work together on, and our expectation would be that Teresa would report back to the entire board on their monthly meetings. Our board will be free to provide any response, suggestions, questions, etc. And as needed, the Facilities Master Plan Steering Committee could further refine the issue that might come forward based on what the administrators are doing, and then bring that forward to the JPB, probably early part of next year, which is what we're going to have to do if we go for a ballot measure in the fall.
Thank
you.
Any other members of the committee that would like to speak?
I think it should also be noted that Teresa and Michael Zelver, who has been happy enough to help us, mm-hmm. project manager of the city of Santa Cruz, to review the facilities master plan and to refine it, because we believe there could be some redundancies in the cost. We may not be talking about 85 million.
That's a specific to what I was alluding to.
Exactly.
And Michael, with his construction background, and Michael Zelver, at one meeting at least, was doing it just as a community volunteer, but we felt probably best to involve all the administrators in that discussion so they had a fuller understanding of that. But, we have some good local talent.
So I'll make a motion, if you can stick with me, because I wrote it down. But just to be more clear this time. Oh.
Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to this item? Okay, bring it back.
They're waiting to hear this motion.
Are we going to go into discussion now?
Well, I mean, you can make a motion in a second and then a discussion.
So
I'm just from a parliamentary standpoint. So I would like to move that we sunset the ad hoc Facilities Master Plan Steering Committee in March of 2014. That we define that the subcommittee or the ad hoc committee's purpose is the facilities master plan. That we direct the library director, as in recommendation here, to work with the administrators of the four jurisdictions to gather additional information, explore options, and bring forth recommendations. That the library director provide monthly reports to this body. By the way, the third part of that, the administrators would bring that forward to the subcommittee, right, in January of 2014, as outlined in that. And that members of the steering committee can bring staff as necessary to help in this work.
Necessary slash as they desire.
Hopefully they desire a necessity. But necessary or as they desire for this work.
I will second that.
You followed it.
I even wrote some things down.
Okay. Motion by Supervisor Friend, second by Councilmember Termini. I'm just going to call that for the record and then open it up for any discussions that any members of the board would have. Board Member Gerd.
Okay. I definitely support number two and the recommendation with the administrators of the four jurisdictions going forward. And I appreciated the summary in the discussion at the bottom of page 77. I think that pretty much spells it out, the renewal of the JPA and the facility projects, phasing, and financial options. I actually would like to see the facilities master plan steering committee sunsetted today, tonight. And I think that because we have the jurisdictions all working together, which are the ultimate authorities in our, you know, that's who put together the joint powers agreement. I would like us to be, our board to be more interfaced with their recommendations. I'd rather it not be filtered through a committee, but if we decided as a board that it needed, the recommendations needed to be focused, filtered through a committee, I would like that committee to be public, and I would like it to be subject to the Brown Act and not be an ad hoc committee. I think that the public really deserves some input in this, and I feel like it would be a much stronger process overall. We have the strategic plan that was very much a public process. We have the task force that produced the community service model that is driving our system now, I think, in a really positive way. That was a very public process. And, you know, I think this third kind of big piece to our, you know, our direction should be a public process. Almost all libraries that go through this facilities master planning, it's a very public process. And so far, ours hasn't been. So I think this would be a way to, you know, respect the public and respect the Brown Act, really, because the Brown Act was basically made to make sure that the public was included in the people's business. So those are my recommendations.
I agree somewhat. I've been part of the subcommittee, and I've appreciated the input that we've had. But you know, some of the advice from our county council, which is not the same as what the city attorney has said in some respects, but I too feel that we should have this a public discussion. I know that there can be some, you know, it can be possibly some more interchange with the public, but that's fine. That's where the system works, and maybe it's my background is business and all, and I don't hold anything against, I think, the way it's been structured, that, you know, single purpose time limit, temporary structure can be allowed, possibly. I just don't feel comfortable with it, and I would agree that I think we should have discussions be in public throughout.
Well, just as a point of clarification, I walked this through with the county council and received clarification that this was completely acceptable on the legal side. I mean, on the philosophical side, that may be a different component. I happen to feel that, I mean, there's a large precedent for having working groups, with the emphasis on working, because if we were to have, you could have everything done by a lot of people all the time. You know, and have everything done by large committee, or you could actually have working groups, which by the way are elected members. I mean, like Supervisor McPherson and you know the council members that are up here. Monthly reports in a Brown Act meeting, which is what it would be coming back to, with ability for us to direct the library director to do additional things in discussion. The ability for us that are elected officials to direct our administrators to go forth in a certain way. And then it comes back to this committee to have as many public meetings as we therefore need once the sausage has been, you know, made. So I think from the most effective component, this is how you do it. I think that there will be a lot of public process still moving forward, and I think it's built in, so I'm comfortable with the motion as stands.
Board Member Dexter.
Well, actually, I'm following up on what Zach says. I guess my question is, has the ad hoc committee considered when the public comment will begin? I mean, is this a case where, I mean, I fully appreciate what you're saying, Zach, about, you know, getting a working group together to be able to just hammer things out in an efficient way makes sense. But is it, I'm just going to theorize here, is it the case that once the measure, whatever funding measure we decide on is hammered out and, you know, and eventually voted on and we succeed, obviously at that point there's going to be a lot of need for public input on the design of the buildings and what people want. And I mean, so where do we need the input now for the funding measure, or I mean, while we hammer that out, or I mean, but where is the appropriate place?
Let me answer that to my. So it's October, right?
Right. No,
and so we're talking about a January.
Well, it's real soon.
So we're talking 2 months from now.
It's real soon.
2 months from now, there's going to be a report to the subcommittee in there. They're going to have to come back to us immediately because they're going away come March. The reason I said March is just because it gives them another month if need be, right? So that's well before any bond or ballot measure would be established, that it would be in this committee, Brown Act, advertised meetings. But every month, meaning November and December, between now and then, it's going to be discussed by the library director here at the public meeting where additional input can be given. So it strikes me that that's the efficient way to accomplish both tasks. If we just, I mean, it begs the question, although I respect what System Member Group was saying, in the sense of getting rid of it now, it begs the question of why not just do every single thing here and get us down to every nitty-gritty detail in this large body then. But I'm just trying to say that I have never found that the greatest efficiency are things that are done, you know, that very detailed things are done by the large groups of people. I find that that you entrust a subcommittee to do it and still have this discussion in the public way that way. So this is just a procedural component, I think, of efficiency. And we're talking about a difference of 2 months, just to be realistic.
Well, my understanding is that we do have a working group, and the working group is our administrators. And I find it a little sort of clumsy to have another working group besides them, because they're going to be coming out, I'm assuming, with recommendations about all these things. And I want to reiterate that they are our, you know, in a sense, they're our superiors. They're going to be looking at our joint powers agreement, and they're going to sort of be trying to figure out this facility plan. It's, you know, it's a very complex task. So I'm uncomfortable with four people, a subcommittee, filtering what their recommendations are to this board. And I'm not sure if anyone besides Bruce agrees with me. It looks like maybe we're the only two. I'm not sure yet. But if that's the case, then I have a recommendation about the steering committee that perhaps we could add alter it just a bit.
You had raised your hand, Councilmember Matthews.
I believe this is fully compliant with the Brown Act. Both the city attorney who advises the library board, and he and his office are our official council of record, but also apparently the county council is comfortable with this as redefined. But I think it'll be rich in transparency and public input when the reports come back from the administrators. They have a lot of work to do in a couple months. I mean, if it's only these three things, that's a lot to digest. And but I do not feel comfortable telling them to come up with the final product for our board to put on the ballot. So,
Court of Order, I want to just say Board Member English, then after Board Matthews is completed.
I think it will be rich in transparency, rich in opportunity for input from both the public and board members. From this point forward, but there really, I believe, is a value for a small working group to hash out the details, do the devil's advocate, balance the information, and these are all electeds, and based on what they know of their communities and their working relationships with their administrators, and I hope the administrative group will weigh all this, come up with at least a couple of good options, maybe a recommendation, and then I believe it's this working group's task to put that in a recommendation form for the board, and then that's a full discussion, public discussion as well. But it's, to me, a more productive way of moving it forward.
Board Member English.
Thank you. One possible compromise here might be to expand the working group to include other board members who wish to participate in that process. I was a little surprised to hear that a member of the public was involved in one of the board meetings, or the committee meeting, because I thought that the group, who was the person that you mentioned a few minutes ago?
They've had advisors come in to give information, but they're not members of the group.
He came in as a member of the public and then became involved as a...
No, he was invited in.
He was a resource.
He was invited in as a resource.
So if I set that aside, the question is, would it make sense to include other members of this board on that committee if they wish to be participating?
Well, I would think that would then violate Brown Act, where we would need to make it an open meeting. So I think that one of the issues, if you're looking at if you come out, what else are you looking for?
Well, I'm just trying to see is there a way in between Nancy's proposal and Zach's proposal that might make this process work more harmoniously for the next few months.
You know, perhaps an alternate.
Sorry.
I don't think you can do that.
I'm not sure what the point is.
Excuse me, it's Board Member Dexter.
I just wanted to clarify about what Nancy said about filtering from the administrators. Coming to us filtered through the working group or the ad hoc committee. Would we not, as a board, be privy then to the information that's coming from? So it wouldn't necessarily be filtered. I mean, we as board members would have access to the information.
That's what I understand Zach is requesting.
I just wanted to clarify that.
I'm requesting the monthly report packs, and I would include whatever is presented to. That's what.
Right. So we would get it just as the committee is getting it. Correct.
Citizen Member Gert, you were next.
Well, what I heard you saying, Cynthia, was that you would get information from the administrators, and then they would hopefully come up with a couple of recommendations, and then you would hone it down to me, it's not a light decision-making, which makes me really uncomfortable that this committee would be taking sort of what they came up with and then sort of coming up with their recommendation. But that is a little bit getting too close for me. I feel uncomfortable with that. That seems like that's making a decision on what it's going to look like. And I just don't feel like there's enough input by public by that process.
I think we've made our cases.
Council Member Tierney?
I think that there's no more decision-making being made in the ad hoc committee than there is in the Finance Advisory Committee. Okay. The committee structure is what makes this body efficient, if it ever is. And I think the prospect that we're filtering, I try not to be offended by it, but it seems like, you know, the committee being knocked aside with the comments made make me feel as though we've been somehow, you know, backroomish with it, and that's not the case.
Yeah, I wasn't really. I wasn't.
I'm open.
Yeah, no, I was not. No, I was not implying that at all, Michael. But I think it's, you know, it's a tricky place to be in. I think you guys have done a fabulous job so far with the polling. But now we're moving forward to sort of the hairier stuff. And so, if people really feel comfortable with the present structure, then I would hope that staff of all the administrations could be part of the meetings. Would that
be? That was part of the motion.
Okay.
And believe me, I'm not the least bit reluctant to shed another committee from my life, so it's okay. So the tonight sunset kind of got me excited a little bit.
I tried,
with the motion
Michael.
As it was made.
So if there's no other discussion, why don't we call the question on the motion and the second? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? So all the passes.
Abstain.
Passes with one abstention by Supervisor McPherson and a no vote by Board Member Gert. Thank you for the discussion. We'll move next to the Next item on the agenda was our member reports. We had a reference to the sub, sub-finance committee and the reports.
Yeah.
So
that group is now meeting every other month. The next meeting is October 21st.
Correct.
Everything's going okay.
Yes.
You didn't miss a meeting.
I'm going to be in New Orleans, so I will not be there for the 21st.
You will not?
No.
Martha?
Yeah. I will.
Yeah. Okay.
I probably won't be there either.
Oh, then
we
have a quorum.
I may still be on the road, so.
Well,
do your Google.
Yeah, let me
know. Doodle.
We'll try again.
I'm going to try for another date.
So we'll move next to the consent agenda. Usually we'll pass this all in one motion. Is there any member of the public who would like to speak to any item on the consent agenda? Any board member like to discuss any particular item on consent?
I just have a quick question. We can pass it and then get it answered. I'd like to know just a little bit more about the county office grant. It was so vague.
The County Office of Education.
Yeah.
This is the second year, Janice, or third year?
I'm
the COE grant. Second year or third year?
We can pull it if you want.
Yeah.
The COE grant. It's tutoring.
Oh, third year.
It's the third year of the tutoring program grant that they, where we tutor in the various branches and COE supports it. This will probably be the last year they'll support it, so we'll probably be looking for our own funding. Does that answer?
Do you want to pull that out?
No, it was so short.
Yeah, it's just a perfunctory approving of the grant. So.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Okay, motion by Supervisor McPherson.
I'll second.
Second by Board Member English. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 It passes unanimously.
Okay. David, I did have one other question just on D.
Okay.
With the piano, it was very interesting the way this was done. Is it the expectation that I kind of read that it was, that because of the piano, that this room would become a desirable practice space or
yes.
a little performance space?
For performance.
It's
yes.
really interesting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So there'll be more demand for this room,
yeah.
yes.
which is already in great demand. Yeah,
depending on what time of hours.
Which is why we needed the policy passed on the
yeah.
yeah, apparently there aren't very many places to pianos at all, or baby grands, I don't know.
Yeah. Or pianos at all.
Pianos at all.
Hmm.
So yeah, it's a community. Because Civic was just going to get rid of it.
It puts out a lot of sound.
But according to the policy, it's still open to the public.
Yes, not use of the piano. They would pay us for the use of the
right,
piano.
But if they're using, I mean, the
yes.
room is still mm-hmm. open to
oh,
them.
Yes.
People can come
sure.
in. And
Before we move on to the Friends of Santa Cruz Public Library report, I'll just say that's a pretty close to be with the children's reading room to have that piano there, so I can imagine we're going to have.
But, we'll see. Well, there's
see,
a lock.
I know my
on
kids
it. Would
like
cover
to play
a lock, so
good luck with that.
Yeah. So we'll move on to item 8 if there's no other discussion regarding the approved consent agenda. Friends of Santa Cruz Public Library.
Hi, I'm Sharon Maxwell. I'm on the Friends board, and I'm here just to give a brief report. In September, there were a couple of good things happening. The Friends hosted the Aptos Chamber of Commerce Mixer at the Aptos Library, and it was really great to have it there, get those business people in. Supervisor Friend was there and had some good reminiscences about using libraries. It was a nice event. We also had an event at the Scotts Valley chapter, or Scotts Valley Branch, this past weekend. If you missed it, it was hopping. I tried to do a head count and I couldn't do it. It was a hops and harvest festival. There were three beer makers, ale makers there. There was food. It was well attended. The patio was lovely. And the report that I got netted $8,000.
Wow.
That's
great.
Yay. So there we go for the beer group in the
there were at least 120 tickets. I don't remember counting after that.
See, I thought I counted maybe 200.
I think there were more people, though.
So, but it was great, and it was really wonderful to see how people were very comfortable moving from indoors, outdoors, and a lot of the community came out to support the library. So we're happy for that. The bookstore downstairs continues to make a wonderful profit. It's over $3,000 a month from donations that come. I think that's marvelous. And now we need to mark your calendars. So October 22nd, Shadowbrook, you've got to be there. Last year we had the opportunity to have but it wasn't huge, and I wanted more people there. So it's October 22nd at the Shadowbrook, and you do get a third of the sales, and reservations are suggested. And then the November 8th and 9th is the Civic Book Sale. So I'm sure that you're all members at this point. David, you did make sure.
Yes, everybody on our board is a member of the Friends of Public Library.
That is fabulous, because you need to come November 8th in the evening, because that's the members-only night. There will be wine, there will be music, there will be crafters, there will be, I think, representatives from different nonprofits in our community will be there, as well as the best book sale in town. And if you miss that, come on Saturday.
What was the date of the Shadowbrook event again?
The 22nd.
That's Tuesday night.
It's a Tuesday.
Which time does it start? Is it 6 or 7?
Okay, so we won't have the finance committee meeting that night.
No, it's whatever night.
City council.
It's whatever time you want to have dinner.
Oh, I see. I didn't know what
it's
the
what
time to start. Okay.
So come early, come late. And I think if you come into their lounge and bar area, that counts too. But you do have to say that you're here for the friends.
Thank you for the sales tax dollars.
And when you make the reservation,
drink early.
You can say that too.
Yeah, but you have to tell the waiter.
You have to tell the waiter.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
No, thank you for all the work you've been doing. Every event, I think, whether it's Discretion or, you know, now at the Shadowbrook, it's really kind of added a really sense of liveliness to everything you guys are doing and probably boosting members. Have you reached new memberships when you have these events?
We have some new business memberships,
yeah,
which is really important, because the more business memberships, that creates even more money and more awareness. And one of the things I wanted to say at Discretion, Cordelia brought a book cart, and it was just make a donation for a book, and I think it was almost $300.
Crazy.
Great. We'll be doing that at Shadowbrook as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Are there any questions?
Yeah. What's a just rough numeric count of the friends these days, memberships?
I think it's around 1,100, which is not enough.
How does that, what's the graph over time?
Oh gosh,
just ballpark. Is it kind of steady, or?
I think it's been kind of steady. That's my understanding.
Where I'm going with this thought is, you know, the friends were just totally essential the last time we did a ballot measure,
mm-hmm.
and they will be again.
And we're knowing that as we talk, yeah. We will be again, and hopefully we'll get more people on board for that. I'm a retired teacher, and I'm going to go back to my school and just tell people you have.
Great. Thank you. So then, moving on to the staff reports, are there, these are all informational items. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak to any of the informational items that are in the report? No. Are there any board members that would like to have any questions on the informational items? I don't know if there's any highlights that you'd like to speak to, Teresa?
The 3M Cloud platform for ebooks went live October 1st. So that's another source for ebooks. I've heard mixed reviews on its ease of use. We're still easing into it, but it is another source besides OverDrive for ebooks. So that's kind of exciting.
And that's pretty much it. Finance we talked about. Marcus, anything you want to mention about money?
We'll have a lively discussion on the next finance committee meeting.
Whenever.
As you recall, we enacted a reserve policy. We have our first kind of just theoretical test. We had a one-time dip in August in cash, so it dropped the lower reserve level. It should pop back up when we have our September report. But it just goes back to the conversation of how we manage that and what our expectations are with our reserve levels.
We did pay off the city loan, which is why.
We had a lot of planned one-time expenditures in July and August.
Save capital, a lot of money.
Yeah. Capital carryovers from the prior year and paying off the city's debt. So there was some significant one-time payments that were all planned and anticipated. So it's just more of a theoretical discussion. There's no urgency or issues we have to resolve.
Yeah, that was an item that had been discussed widely at our library sub-finance committee meeting over the past about year and a half. So thank you for that report. Councilmember Termini?
I have a question with regard to the ILS. If the new IT director can, it's one of the staff reports,
yeah,
calm all my fears that I've had for months that we purchased an ILS before we had an IT director. Tell me you're in love with it, and it's a great product and process.
I'm in love with it. It's a great product.
The first night in 8 months I can sleep. Thank you very much.
Well, just on to that item.
I've spoken to Boston Public Libraries, also has Polaris, and I've spoken to a couple other different library systems that are using Polaris, and everybody loves it. They find it really superb. They find the support excellent. We've pored over the contract. Everything looks great, and I think it's the right choice for us.
I have to tell you, Lynn started a week ago today. I got back from Hawaii a week ago tomorrow, and Wednesday, I think we had a meeting. No, maybe it was Tuesday or Wednesday. We met about the contract, and that same day, we're on the phone with the consultant saying, because both the same things struck both of us, and so we went back to the consultant. She called Polaris. They made changes in the contract, and so Lynn, you know, I don't know what she did in the 3 weeks from when we hired her to when she started. My guess is she was doing a lot of research. But she really hit the ground running and has already, one of the add-ons that we're looking at, she's found an alternative to it, you know, that may work better. I mean, she's just amazing what she's done. But
let me just say before you comment, Board Member Kurt, this was an action item, the Polaris.
Yeah, oh, I'm, yeah.
That goes beyond
oh,
the
it is. Oh,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah,
he
hasn't moved on to that, so
before,
I thought
but,
we would.
Yeah, no,
okay, never
there,
mind, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no problem. Are there any questions on the informational items?
I've had a question about Polaris.
Okay, so let's move on then to item E, action items, a contract with Polaris for the new ILS.
So we're very excited about it. It's the basic contract has come in well under the $300,000 that we planned. There are some additional expenses, which I outlined in here, which we know we're going to need to incur. So rather than coming back each time, I'm just asking for an additional authorization to spend some additional money to do these other add-on kinds of things. Some of them are bells and whistles. Some of them are getting the data out and in. They just didn't have a quote for us in time. Actually not getting the data in, getting the data out of our current system. Really, we're in, like I said, Lynn has gone over it in detail. Consultant's very happy with it. We're all very excited. We have talked with a number of other libraries. So we're ready to go. So any questions? Apparently, Nancy's had a question.
I'm really happy to see Evergreen go. This is an exciting night. But I was curious about, it says in evaluating features, the focus is twofold. The first one is my question, functionality that the public will be using and will immediately appreciate. So what does that refer to?
Well, there's things that, some functionality that was lost in Evergreen that will come back. Where you are on the, something to do with where you are on the hold list. Consistent searching. Oh yeah, searching the catalog. Yeah, that might
so
work.
So it has a really advanced search engine, which we didn't have at all.
Yes.
In Evergreen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's just a couple of public things
that are there, and we're still scrolling.
Okay, Board Member.
I noticed that replacing the self checkout system is one of the sort of still unknowns. Presumably, Polaris has a recommended third party that.
Yes, and that's the one that we're not.
You're not
their
sure.
Third party is coming in very expensive, and so we're looking at an alternative. It's not just the software, though, it's also the actual, I think it's also the actual machines, am I right?
Yes.
That are, I mean, they were great when we got them, but time has moved on.
Oh, yeah.
And Polaris will work with the current self-check.
Mm-hmm.
So day one, we will be functional on the current self-checks. We just need. We want to take some time. We want Lynn to have some time before we move forward with anything to make a good judicious decision on how best to move forward. And I can't expect her to do that in 5 days.
Well, because that's really a critical element.
Yeah, but it will work the first day. So we'll
well,
be
no,
okay.
I know
yeah.
that, but I mean,
yes.
moving forward,
yes.
having, because what we have right now working the first day is almost less than adequate. And so
yeah.
what we want is something really good.
Yeah,
for that.
We'll be looking at that.
Yeah, we're doing our due diligence there. That's for sure.
Okay. Councilmember Termini, and I must assume that this will integrate with our vendor pre-processing our materials coming in.
Yes. Yes. Probably easier than what we've been. Mm-hmm.
Councilmember Matthews.
I'm always thinking, where's the story? So when are you going to flip the switch on this thing?
It's going to be March.
When do we do like the virtual
March.
Ribbon cutting?
Yeah, it'll be March. March.
No, we're fixing it right now.
Yeah, looking towards sometime in March.
Well, you know, pick a date and celebrate it. It's huge.
Seriously.
Yeah, well, when I, assuming you approve the contract tonight, I get to call Polaris in the morning and say, contract's ready to go. Then we'll discuss timeline, but we're thinking it'll be somewhere around March. And then once we have a date, I mean, once we have it, we will have a go-live date, and then we'll start, marketing is all prepared to, well, not prepared yet, but they will be prepared.
But we do plan to make
a splash.
Celebration out of it.
We, as part of this, we intend to bring back interlibrary loan, which is the thing I get asked for the most. We intend to be able to take credit cards. Yes, we intend to take credit cards.
He's overjoyed. I can see it.
So we're all PCI compliant.
Yes.
So anyway, we will be trying to make a splash.
Great. And the friends should be a part of that, and you know, get your memberships up. And
yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a great
occasion. Yeah, before we open up to see if there's any public here that would like to comment, Board Member English.
Thank you. My one concern from reading the package tonight is our IT director going to be on board to see this thing through? And so I just got to say, you know, second or third, our appreciation for your joining the board. One of the questions I had was, will the IT director have been able to review this contract before we're asked to review it? I hear you say yes, you've gone through it from one end to the other, so I'm really happy about both of those items. I'm puzzled that the whole contract was in the board package, and I don't know if that means something. Is there something I should take from its presence?
No, it's standard.
It's 30 days. Yeah, mm-hmm. Standard.
Yeah, you have no idea.
That's the part Zach loves the most about his job. Contract of this magnitude.
Is there any member of the public or anyone here that would like to speak to this item further? Okay, we'll bring it back for a motion. Motion by Councilmember Matthew, second by Councilmember Termini. All those in favor?
Aye.
Passes unanimously.
Thank you.
The next item is our written communications, and customarily these are here for board reference. If any board member has any questions on them, now would be an opportunity to ask the staff about items A through G. Any questions? Thank you for compiling these reports. I appreciate having them in there for reference. It gives a lot of background on not only the statistics and written comments, but also I appreciate the activities in regards to the security incident logs to see what's going on.
I can't say that's a positive note.
No, but I mean, to have it in there is important.
And it's actually not just downtown anymore.
I know.
No,
that's
I
what's
know.
So interesting.
We just got one today on Ransom.
Okay.
I did have a comment. I always appreciate the monthly statistical reports, and it occurs to me that's something that all of us who represent jurisdictions can do is go back to our jurisdiction. You know, the city council has a part in its meeting to report from commission assignments or something, but even to distribute this one thing, you know, if you distribute an annual report, it's overwhelming, but just at every meeting, a factoid can make an impression, and as we're going into this coming year, the more we just kind of get our various jurisdictions familiar with what the library is doing and how well used it is and all that, that's just going to build, I think, the, you know, obviously there's support, but it'll build the enthusiasm for what we're going to do.
Absolutely. Councilmember Termini?
I might add, with the incident law, I want to thank Merrily, our Capitola branch librarian, because rather than go right to the police or take over action in any way, she contacted me. I found a police officer, a lady police officer, who was familiar with this particular person, who was able to, in a non-confrontational way, approach her, and it was very gentle because she was developmentally disabled. She had nothing but love for the children. It made some of the mothers a little nervous, but it was just, it was the most perfect solution. So thank you, Merlin.
Thanks.
Melanie, sorry.
So, seeing no other comments on the information or the written communications, we'll move on to the board meeting calendar. As you might recall, at the last board meeting, we discussed the November date. You're going to be out of town, Teresa, correct?
Correct.
So, I had heard some consensus that we would not have a board meeting in November, move to December, but I just if that differs from your recollection, let me know.
There was no definitive decision made, so I put this on here. There's the only issue that I know of would be the monthly report for the facilities master plan, but otherwise, managers and I have talked, we don't have any pending library business that we would need, other library business that would need attention in November, so we're fine in skipping it. And December
isn't
meeting's
that,
very early.
Isn't that kind of a major issue, though, that we're dealing with? I mean, that's sort of a big issue that we're looking at. It seems like we should pay attention to it.
I can't imagine anything coming from our respective administrators by November.
Really? Mid-November?
Well, I'd have to get...
They have to be done by January, right?
Actually, so. I would have to have a report written by October 30th, because I would be leaving. I'm at a meeting all day on the 31st, and I leave on the 1st for Long Beach. So anything that came out of the administrators, I would have to have written up by October 30th in order to make this packet on the 7th.
I don't
so.
See that happening out of that group.
Councilmember Matthews? Well, it'll actually be your second meeting, whether your third administrator's meeting. It'll
yes, tomorrow's the second meeting.
I think even a verbal report on what they're grappling with.
Well, we didn't have a November meeting.
The question is whether or not we have a November board meeting or not.
Oh, I see. I'd do an oral report of November.
2 weeks later.
Yeah.
How deep in November do you want to go before we are 2 weeks away from our December meeting?
Well, okay.
Yeah, I think
we'll
just go to December.
December, it's early in December,
second.
December 2nd.
Yeah.
So, any other discussion?
Well, we originally said November 7th. We had agreed originally November 7th.
No, we hadn't.
No, because...
I had suggested it.
I thought we had voted, not last month, but the month before that we had agreed on.
Yeah, we couldn't find the motion. We couldn't find it in the law, so we're not sure. but whatever, I mean, I...
Okay, let's do a poll. Would you like to postpone to the December meeting? Okay, Board Member English, Board Member Dexter?
I'm happy meeting. I kind of think it's...
Okay.
We lose momentum when we don't. And actually, I think it maybe depends a bit on what you guys, the administrators, come up with. And if you think there's something kind of meaty that you'd like to report, even a quick meeting.
If the meeting could just focus on that would... save a lot, you know, instead of all the rest of everything we do.
Certainly, if that's the case. I mean, I have a problem meeting the second week of November.
You want to meet November 7th, and I'll give a report, an update on the facilities master plan?
I think it's important to ensure that...
Because we're trying to get momentum.
That information
comes back
to the full board from you, or from your designee. I mean, it doesn't have to be Teresa. I mean, you can send somebody that...
Yeah, but we're all going to be at the conference.
Okay, all right.
The State Library Conference. State Library says you don't.
But you will be here for the 7th.
I will be here for the 7th. So we could put the agenda out, and if I can't get if there's nothing... I'm back on the 6th, so if I don't know anything by the 30th, I'm not going to have it by the 6th.
I'd be comfortable with keeping the meeting, and then if you know, we learn that there's nothing has happened, the meeting can be canceled. But is the chair of the ability to cancel that? Okay.
Are we okay
chair
with that being basically the topic of the meeting, and unless I have other urgent business that needs
especially
to be dealt with?
And is this informational?
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That
would
really help.
Okay. So then we will be back on
November 7th.
Okay. And if it'll be a limited agenda in terms of, you know, pretty single focus. All right, so the next board meeting then will be scheduled for Thursday, November 7th at 6:30 p.m. right here at the Downtown Library. And if there's no other board discussion, the meeting is adjourned.